This is Greg Spivak, and you're watching The Marcus Deegan Show.
The Marcus Deegan Show! What's the story, guys? Welcome to another episode of the pod. It's me again, your host, Marcus Deegan. Where am I? I'm where I always am, here in Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. The place of bright lights and world title fights. Thanks for joining us again for another podcast. We've got another kick-ass guest on the studio today that's going to fill you in with some information. I want to remind you that today's episode is for educational and entertainment purposes only, and we are mystically sponsored by a fantastic new company, Muse. Open your eyes to a more vivid life. Guys, in this day and age of pharmaceuticals and shit that the medical industry is trying to cram down your body, I've always said this, God has put natural things on this earth for us to heal our remedies. He gave us aloe vera, right? What's aloe vera do? It's really good for sunburn. He gave us magic mushrooms. What are they good for? Well, they've got a million properties inside them that can help you, that can benefit you daily. And I'm really, really excited to talk about this. We have got one of the ambassadors of this amazing company on the show today. We're going to test it out and have a little bit of fun. Would you please welcome to the podcast my main man, Greg Spivak. What's up, brother?
Thanks for
Is that how you say your last name?
Spivak.
Spivak. What is that? Is that Greek?
It's Jewish, Slavic, Eastern European.
So you just came in today from where?
Santa Barbara, California.
How long does that take on the plane?
I think it's a quick 45-minute flight.
You come to Vegas a lot?
Once in a while.
Every now and then?
Every now and
misbehave?
Then. Yeah, a little bit. You have to. It's good to let the beast out, every once in a while.
This company, man.
It's cool, right?
Unbelievably cool. And the way that I like to talk, I've been associated with a lot of brands since I've been podcasting, big brands. I've promoted Conor McGregor's Proper 12 Irish Whiskey, also his athletic spray, yep. Riz Pharma, which is an amazing pharmaceutical company that sends products out via mail. And I like to go with things that people really enjoy, really like, and of course, things that are beneficial.
Sure.
When I started learning a little bit more about magic mushrooms, I was fascinated by it, and I wanted to be involved so I could share it with my audience. There's a big stigma that goes with this product that I think that people need to kind of squash and understand what it's really about. Just in a nutshell, what's a little bit about your background? Obviously, you're into fitness. You do some coaching as well. Just tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah. So honestly, I'm passionate about helping people, man. There's a lot of unnecessary suffering in this world. There's a lot of things that we're not told. We're not really taught growing up as kids, as adults, how to live a good life, right? And being happy, healthy, and strong. So as a young kid, I was always fascinated with being bigger and faster, stronger for sports. I was a national judo champion once upon a time, played Division I college football. And, along the way, what I put towards getting better at those sports once I was done with it and having seven rehabilitative surgeries.
You did?
I've had everything done to me, seven reconstructive surgeries later. Basically just broken down athlete in my early 20s, trying to figure out who the fuck I am. Right. Go through a little bit of, depression, a lot of, soul searching, who the fuck am I? So then after a while, getting into things listening to Joe Rogan podcasts in the early days, hearing some of these real intelligent people come on successful in different walks of life. And I started picking up these different tricks and tools from different people and applying it to myself and, getting into meditation, things like that. Back in the early days, doing keto, learning about that. So then I just took this sort of passion for being, the best athlete I could be and sort of put it towards being as happy, healthy, and strong as I can be. And then, got into coaching and just started, adding tools to the tool belt along the process, got into, psychedelics, had some very profound moments with that were very healing for myself. And then along the ways with that, found out about microdosing, started realizing that hey, these are tools from nature that, are divine to us, that are human rights to be able to use and access. And so, I use their products in my coaching practice with people and events, and they're amazing.
So a lot of people are listening and thinking magic mushrooms is just all about getting high. There is that property to it.
I wouldn't say high.
Okay. Now that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Can you try and change? What's the word that you would use?
So when you think about getting high or drunk, you're getting inebriated, right? So that's when you're smoking cannabis or you're drinking alcohol. I feel like it's more of you being inebriated, right? But not that it's a bad thing. It's totally fine. Obviously when done responsibly and whatever else, but with mushrooms, it's an enhancer. So if you microdose, you're not inebriated at all. You're enhanced. You know, tons of fighters do it. I know, like Joe Schilling's talked about with like Don Cerrone talked on like the Rogan podcast one time about how he takes it before he fights. And when I know multiple fighters do that before they fight, it puts you in a bit of a flow state. You're more tapped in to your body and less, you know, in your mind. You're operating less out of ego. I know myself personally, when I do things like when I go snowboarding, I go mountain biking, things like that, where I'm challenging myself. I do more than a microdose, and you know, to the point where when I get down off of a run from snowboarding, I'm, you know, things are moving a little bit. But when I'm in the run, though, I'm so far out of my ego, out of my mind, I'm so far connected with my body that I trust my skills, and I'm able to push myself safely to a level that my ego won't let me go to normally. So it's an enhancer. And when you do a macrodose of mushrooms, it's not that you're high. It's just you're more deeply connected with yourself and with universe. So I know that sounds a little bit out there, but that I wouldn't call that being high. You know, I would call that, you know, having a psychedelic experience. It's a different thing.
So there is different types of psychedelics properties. Obviously there's DMT, there's LSD, there's psilocybin,
mescaline.
That is that. And then
that's like peyote and like
that's right, ayahuasca and stuff like that, right?
Ayahuasca is DMT.
Ayahuasca is DMT.
Yeah.
Isn't ayahuasca a plant?
Yeah, but the compound in there is DMT. Just like in, you know, psilocybin mushrooms, it's psilocybin and that turns to psilocin in the body.
So with the DMT, what I've read and what I've heard, and even what I've heard our good friend Joe Rogan talk about,
yeah,
is that when the body dies is when you get your most flooded dose of DMT, right? This is what I've read.
It's
this
a
is
theory,
what
I, yeah.
Right, it's a theory that.
Yeah.
So you're getting this dose of DMT, whether you take it, I think you can smoke it now, or you can even inject it, I've been told, to get that, the full effect, you can inject it and get that 12-minute experience with the other side.
So,
I was gonna say, is it the other side, or is it our brain changing and making us think we're on the other side?
So, you know, you could try to scientifically explain kind of what's going on. I know a lot of like scientists will do that. You know, what you mentioned about DMT being released when you have a near-death experience or when you die, I tend to believe, you know, that happens, right? You know, some doctors and scientists like don't believe that even exists, or that's not actually happening. But there's a guy by the name of Dr. Rick Strassman, and he's been on the Rogan podcast a few times, but he wrote a book called DMT, the Spirit Molecule. And he actually researched, you know, paid for by the war on drugs effort back in like the early 90s to actually, you know, give people intravenous DMT and study them. And what he kind of hypothesized is that, you know, we have it in our bodies, flooding throughout our bodies, produced by the pineal gland, and that depending on how much DMT you have in your body at any given time, you know, how much is being secreted is depending on your sense of reality at that given moment. So when you're flooded with a bunch of dopamine DMT from having a very intense life experience, you know, it taps you in, you know, it kind of breaks the realms of perception. You tap into like other dimensions, you could possibly say. And scientists have also proven that there are other dimensions.
Of course.
We just can't see them, right? So
can they see us?
Who knows? I don't have any really fixed beliefs when it comes to this. I'm open to all of it. I think it all makes sense. And I heard something recently, or you know, he talks about that in that book though too. When you're born, you have a shared DMT experience with your mother. So you guys, and that's this deep bonding experience you have.
Wow, with
your mother.
I didn't know
so
that.
When you come out the birth canal, you experience it, and then so does your mother. So then, if you do, you know, recreational DMT later on in life, it's not as maybe as intense. I don't say not intense, but it's not as like jarring as it could be for someone who was C-sectioned.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
I know, it's pretty wild.
Fuck yeah.
So I was actually C-sectioned, and I did Bufo, which is I went down to Sonora, Mexico, and was on this reservation, Indian reservation, where the Sonoran desert toad is like, that's where the home is.
Oh, the toad secretion from its back.
So Bufo.
You're loving this conversation, are you?
So Bufo is, it's 5-MeO DMT. So it's like a methylated form of DMT. There's NN DMT, which is ayahuasca and the more visual stuff, whereas 5-MeO DMT is more it's pure energy. But when I did it though, there's a crazy story leading up to that too. But it was a very intense experience for me, and like it was
too intense.
Very the most it was the most it was
scary and sick intense or like fuck no want this to be over.
You just blasted out of your fucking body. And I thought I died. I thought I blew my mind out in the middle of the Sonoran Desert. And
oh, you did?
Yeah, I thought I was done. I thought I was gone. And then next thing I realized, that 10 minutes had passed, and I was like screaming back into my body. I came back into consciousness, screaming at the top of my lungs, as if I was like reborn out of like the birth canal of the universe.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And so talking to shamans afterwards, and like getting like the downloads, and like talking to them about it, and kind of making sense of the story of the experience was very powerful in integrating that. But
you're blowing my mind.
But listening to, or reading that book afterwards, and you know, making sense of like I was C-sectioned, and like that's probably why it was such an intense experience compared to someone else, where it's more blissful.
Everything's kind of connected in a sense, yeah. In a way, right? And maybe
I believe so.
Yeah, I believe so as well. That's why we get along. I believe that maybe these things are an enhancement of what you can't maybe naturally, I don't want to say naturally feel or see, but as you said, more of an enhancement, more of a vibrant, vivid way of living, would you say?
Well, we operate so much of our lives out of ego. And our ego is you could call it your mind, your ego, but it's your steadfast beliefs of how the world is, right? Like this is a table right here. These are lights on us right now. I'm in the studio. I'm a man. You're a man. These are sort of these like belief patterns that we've created for ourselves. And obviously a lot of them they're useful, but a lot of them don't serve us, like self-limiting beliefs, right? Habits and like, neural connections that are in our brain that are self-limiting, like, I'm not good enough, or I'll never be good enough, or I suck at dancing, or whatever it might be. It's shit that was really programmed into us when our brains were most plastic when we were kids, and we've never been able to like shed that. So you've heard the saying that it takes 21 days to create a new habit. That's because you're trying literally wire and fire new, basically neuro synapses in your brain, new neural pathways in your brain. And that takes time, right? Because our brains aren't as open as we were when we were kids. So when we do things like meditation, when we do things that makes us really present, we're able to make those connections faster because life happens right now. It doesn't happen in the past or the future. It happens right now. You right. can't experience happiness that's already happened or hasn't happened yet. Right. You want to be happy when you're right here, right fucking now, right?
Right.
So when you look at the neuroscience of what psilocybin does to the brain, and when you look at the neuroscience of meditation, it's almost identical as far as like the areas of the brain that are upregulated and other areas of the brain that are downregulated. So there's an area of your brain called your default mode network, and this is your thinking area of the brain. So when you go do squats, your quads and your glutes and your hamstrings are taking up a lot of oxygen and blood flow, creating energy there, right? Because you're working out. Same thing when you're thinking, that your default mode network is taking up oxygen and blood flow because you're asking it to work, right? But then when you have anxiety and and stress, the area of the brain is having this is taking up oxygen and blood flow just as if you were crunching numbers, right? Because you've programmed your subconscious to behave like this. So when you're meditating, the exact opposite is happening because you're asking your brain to do nothing. You're asking that default mode network to chill.
Which is very difficult to do, by the way.
It's hard because we're constantly on the go, right? We have this phone in our pocket that drives us crazy, right? But it's also a useful tool.
Yeah.
So when you take a microdose, though, it does the same thing to that area of the brain as meditation does. It takes that default mode network and turns it down. So you're able to be more present because the more downregulated that default mode network is, the more present you are to the world. So the more engaged in conversation like we are right now, the more vivid you see the colors of the world. Like there's beautiful nature all around you. You can find beauty anywhere in life, right? Mm. But it takes being present to notice it, right?
Right.
So the more present you can be, the more abundant your life's going to be.
I think I'm going to get more present fucking right now. Now.
Awesome, those too.
You want to open that for me? And let's just explain what we've got here because I really, really enjoyed this right here. These are what I take when I'm shooting my podcast for sure, because not only did I feel more engaged in the conversation, but something really bizarre happened that I didn't realize until afterwards. I didn't have to think of my questions.
You're in flow.
I flowed through it.
Yeah.
What did you take then? Two?
I took three.
I'm going to take three as well.
Yeah.
Joey, would you like to microdose with this, my brother? Well, you should, one might really, you probably need two, I'd say.
Yeah.
Come on over here, Joe.
One's, we call one a nanodose.
The nano.
Nanodose.
That means, explain nanodose.
So some people are stronger, like absorbers of different, you know, substances, whether it's like vitamin B12.
It tastes good too, by the way.
Yeah, delicious, right?
Grapey kind of.
Yeah, whether it's B12 or whatever it might be. In this case, psilocybin. People, you know, will you take one of these as a microdose instead of taking like a whole, like one of the micro or the flow products, because that might be too strong for them. But for the average person, that's the right amount. For, you know, the people on the, you know, on the outer tiers, you know, this is a better amount.
Okay, so one of these chews is what you would call a microdose.
A nanodose.
Two is a micro or three is a micro?
Two to three is a micro.
Now, the beauty of this is, guys, that you're sitting at home thinking, fuck, how much do I take? Like, I don't know if I want to take one, if I take two. Well, the beauty of Muse, okay, is that what they supply you with is this amazing dosing chart, which is so self-explanatory. It gives you the milligram of the dosage, how many to take, and the effect that it's going to have on you. So you're never out of your limit to know how much you can have or how much you can't have. Don't do what I did and just down the chocolate as soon as you get it without reading it, because if you got work to do on the computer, it can become a little bit distracting when you're getting the visuals.
Yeah, so you know, it's set and setting. When it comes to doing like a macrodose like that, you want to, you know, be intentional with the usage of that, right?
Yeah.
So if that's, you know, splitting a chocolate bar up, which each piece is a half gram, if you're splitting it up with friends, you know, half a gram, that's kind of like a museum dose, I would call it. And a museum dose, that's like the right amount you would want to walk through a museum and look more in depthly at the art and see more of the intricacies.
I love that. I love it.
Your ego won't let you see, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, but be intentional. Hey, I'm going to have this with my friends right now. We're going to have we're going to be a lot looser and have a sillier time. It's going to have some of that playful energy, right? If you're eating the whole bar, that would be a macrodose. So then being intentional with that, I'm going to be in my backyard. I got my little journal right here. These are some of the intentions that I've got. I'm going to like surrender to the experience, or I'm going to go in some nature, sit down in some nature and be one with nature. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to take that and go to a full bar and go to a football game or something like that. It's the wrong environment, right? You're probably going to have not the best experience. It might be too intense, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's why the chocolate was a little too intense to do this, but the chews were great. Now, from time to mouth to effect of brain, what's the time? Half an hour?
Everyone's different, and it's dependent on how much food you have in your system as well. So really just depends. A microdose. So I always talk about with clients and like groups that there's a difference between benefits and effects. So benefits of microdosing, when you're microdosing, it should be like sub-perceptual. You shouldn't really necessarily feel it. It should be like throughout your day or at the end of your day, if you were to audit your day or take a step back and look at your day, are you more in flow? Are you more present? Are you a little bit happier? A little bit more chipper? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Then you're having a successful microdosing day, or you had a successful microdosing day. Once you start feeling effects, that you're kind of on the higher end of microdosing. Things are a little bit more vivid. Like that's fine. But like, it's nice having calculated products to be able to know like what part of the pool you want to play in. Right. It's like, hey, I can't go like too sort of like, I don't know. I can't go too much. I can't have too many effects right now. I got to go into this meeting right now, and I need to be like, I can't be like a little bit out there, right?
Yeah.
I need
to go to drive.
I want to be in flow, but I want to be dialed in as well.
Yeah.
So you know exactly how much you should take. Whereas like, if you're trying to like measure that with say like a chocolate bar, it's not really accurate. That's not the best vehicle for that. So there's the capsules are a much better vehicle for that.
So one thing that I kind of struggled with in the beginning when I wanted to try these is that recently, 2.5 years now of being sober, totally sober, no drugs, man. No alcohol.
Amazing.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. It was a struggle, and it's the first time in 53 years that I can honestly say that I'm being completely sober. I was kind of worried that this would maybe fuck up my sobriety date, but it's not like that. It's completely different. And it's what's bizarre about it is that I had to take it to kind of fully comprehend that. I don't want to say this is like taking a natural antidepressant, but it's like taking a fucking natural antidepressant. And I believe that the benefits that I've had as far as clarity and flow has been night and day. I already love my job. I already love what I do. I love sitting down, talking to interesting people like you and hearing these amazing stories. but it's enhanced when you take this product, and it
puts the ego aside, man.
You're able
to go straight to the core of the onion instead of like peeling the layers back within a relationship. It's like, let's go straight to the core right away.
Yeah. So for anyone that's maybe thinking, hey, I'm sober now, I don't want to mess up my clean date. It's not like that. It's not like, you know, as Greg said, it's you're not getting high. High is just the wrong word. You're just feeling so much different. Now, how long have you been involved with these guys?
So, I met the guys like way back when they first were starting it out, and I helped them formulate the Flow product, which has like the full stack based on the Paul Stamets stack, enhances all the benefits of microdosing. So I've just known them for a while now, and you know, I back then I was like, you know, working with clients, so I, you know, basically like getting you know, microdose capsules and Ziplocs from, you know, someone I know, and like, you know, giving them to my clients or handing them out at an event that I was at, which obviously that's not how it should be viewed, right? That's kind of like the old days of
under
like,
the
you,
table
you buying, 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 buying the buying like, you know, weed from the guy in the garage on the street and the Ziploc, like, you know, this is there's no reason that this shouldn't be viewed as Muse has presented it in a very professional manner. Like, so that's why I only work with these guys. They're awesome. There's a lot of other brands out there in the marketplace now that have cartoony graphics on them, and I think it discredits the space.
Yes.
I don't want to be associated with that.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. And one thing that I was blown away by with Muse, first of all, which always is the first thing that stands out to me when anyone sends me any kind of product to either display or to become a partnership with, and I get a lot of them, but most of them I don't go with because they're shit. When I got this package in the mail, the first thing that I noticed was, as I just said, the packaging, the professionalism of the packaging, the graphics were unbelievable. You know, the inside the box was presented really well with stickers and brochures. And as I mentioned on the dosing chart, and then all the products put beautifully in there. So automatically straight away, I thought, this is a real professional outfit. The attention to detail was amazing. So straight up, I knew that, you know, that you guys had your shit together. And then after trying the product, I really, really loved it. Once again, I fucked up the first time around by downing a couple of pieces of the chocolate straight away when I've had nothing in my system in years.
Yeah.
So it was a little, I'm not going to say it was a little overwhelming, nothing too bad, a little overwhelming because it was the feeling was foreign to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But since then, I've been able to share this with some fighters that I've had on the show, which has just fucking blown me away. Literally everyone, I don't want to go saying any names, but everyone that I've had on the show has microdosed with me during the podcast. And then also with a couple of the staff in here. Is George around? I want to hear about George's experience. So first of all, I'm just I'm really, really enthusiastic about promoting the brand because
that's awesome.
It has to work on me to be able to honestly promote it.
Yep.
Because I wouldn't bullshit people about something 100%. That doesn't work or something that fucks you up. And would you please welcome to the podcast the number one engineer / producer / cold plunge king, the football man, the bearded brother, George Carmona with the boner. George Carmona with the boner. George, amazing. You met Greg earlier on. And yes. Thank you very much for putting together this beautiful backdrop here for Muse.
Yeah, well, thank you for sending me a proper like branding kit because I had every single logo and every color and every variation. It was very easy to.
We were just talking about professionalism when it comes to products that we like to endorse on the show, and as you can see, all this was done just fucking A class. So when we got this box, the first thing I did was bring it in here and share it with all of you guys. Can you tell us about your experience with Muse?
Yeah, so I willingly took a chocolate square that Marcus handed me, I think it was 3 weeks ago. And since I'm editing the video, I'm going to edit in the video of me. I had my hood up. I had sunglasses on. I got smacked in the face because I was unaware. It wasn't that I was unaware, but I was just like, I hadn't done mushrooms in probably a year. And so being at work, being spur of the moment.
You ate a whole chocolate bar?
No, I had like a square.
And I think you had two chews with it as well.
Yeah, and two chews with it. Yeah, I definitely was like trying to get back in.
That's 600 milligrams.
Yeah.
That's more than half grams. Pretty strong.
Yeah, so I was loving life. I got a lot of work done that day, surprisingly.
We had a lot of laughter together, as a matter of fact.
Oh, so much laughter. Laughter
is the best.
The uncontrollable, real gut laughter.
The laughter you used to have as a kid all the time, right? Yeah. That, as an adult, you just lose it because you're operating out of your ego too much, you know?
100%. And to be able to do it in a work environment really helped put like what's going on at work in perspective for me, because there's so many moving pieces here at the studio that when you like slow it all down and you see how much is actually happening, you're like, damn, I'm doing a lot for a lot of people. And it's like,
and you appreciate it.
Yes.
You give yourself that self-love, right?
Yep.
Where it's like before, you know, when you're operating out of that ego, right? You're like, just go fucking push. Never celebrate any of the wins. Never give yourself the credit. And like, that's something that I mean, even still, you know, like as a coach, I still work on that with myself, because I grew up in that sort of mindset, you know, immigrant parents, you know, dad came over here with $5 in his pocket, you know, built himself into, you know, a successful person. But it was just instilled into me from a young age, just to push and drive. And like, and then like, I some of the first like big macrodose experiences I had on mushrooms, I was able to be like, holy shit, like I could love myself. I could give myself credit. Yeah, that's huge, you know?
I definitely felt that. I did 7 grams once in college, heroic dose, as some may say. And my God, it was one of the coolest experiences of my life, because I do think that you only need, I would say, a handful of those to really just experience. Like, there comes a certain point in mushrooms where you can't go past, like, I'm already in another realm. I'm in the bed. I'm just like, you know, kind of transforming through time, or like going through different dimensions is what it really feels like. And after doing that, I was like able to understand what my purpose was. I felt smaller as a person in this world where you see 7 billion people, you're on social media all the time,
but it,
you make it makes you feel like purposeful, and in a way that is different than like you are growing up. You're taught that you're going to work a job and you're going to be able to provide value to other people. But when you think of it like that, it doesn't sound as appealing as when you think of it when you do 7 grams of mushrooms and you're like, I am just helping this machine of the world move together.
You're
you can spread that.
You're part of it.
Yep. You could spread that positivity. And I was a teacher for 3 years. So like, I was really able to tell them what self-love is in ways that I was able to find through mushrooms.
So you would microdose as a teacher?
I did microdose occasionally as a teacher. And
those kids are probably pretty well off right now in this world.
Yeah, no, you like grow to appreciate the humans that they're becoming, and you understand how much of an impact you can make on them. Especially with the whole self-love thing. It's not like, for me, it was never about, I'm going to have you be a mathematician. I was also teaching special ed. So like this was students with emotional disturbance as their labeled disability. And so teaching them that they are worth something, and that waking up every day is a chance to reframe this narrative, because these guys come from like, they're almost like prisoners before, you know, going into jail. Yeah. Like these kids are labeled and they're, you know, stigmatized to a whole nother level that they have to deal with. And you just get them to be accepting of, you know, who they are and what they're going to become. And it was awesome.
And they have a right to be here. You know?
Yep.
That they matter.
Yep.
You know, I think a lot of people in this world suffer from the concept of just feeling like that they don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when you do psychedelics, mushrooms in particular, you feel a deep connection with your fellow man, and you realize that we're all sort of like one and the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my opinion, I think we're all God.
Yeah,
I agree with you on that. I am a firm believer.
I don't think there's a duality concept. I don't think it's God than us. I think it's like we are God.
Yep.
Would you recommend this product? And would you be willing to microdose with us right now?
My day is winding down here. It hit the 5 o'clock mark, so it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yep.
Especially in Las Vegas.
especially in Las Vegas. So you would endorse this product, George, and 100%. It definitely made you feel better, and it's something that you want to continue doing with me in this studio.
Yeah.
And our guests.
I like the path that you've taken and you've turned, because you've never done them. So like, this is completely new to you, Marcus.
Yeah.
And for me, being a 25-year-old, I don't know, I feel a lot of younger kids were exposed to it in a different way.
Yeah.
And so for us, we're like talking about this stuff on a podcast, and we know the benefits. For you, when you were growing up, it was probably like, don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
It was do other drugs, because
yeah,
crack is fun.
Crack is fun.
I would imagine.
You feel like shit the next day, but it is a little bit of fun.
I can imagine that. It's yeah, probably a wild ride, but I mean, probably not, the juice isn't worth the squeeze, huh?
Right, yeah. But cool, yeah. Yeah, so
I appreciate you allowing me to spread a little bit of mushroom love here.
Thank you.
Try him. Buy Muse. Yes.
Thanks, Jorge.
Alrighty, brother.
All right, brother. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the story, man. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Keep on keeping on. I love it, dude.
Thanks, Georgie. Yeah, I was blown away. Once again, I had a guy on the show, Trap Daddy, who went through some massive trauma, like straight after one after another. God rest her soul. His beautiful little 3-year-old daughter passed away from leukemia. Got diagnosed. 7 days later, she died. The next day, he found out that his wife has a terminal illness. His wife is dying. They had to terminate the pregnancy because the child will not be able to go full term because the mother is dying. We did some mushrooms on the show, and he came out and talked about it. And afterwards, he said, fuck, I just got a little bit emotional then. Afterwards, he said to me that it was one of the greatest moments that he had, because he felt that he could honestly talk about it for once and feel that he could get it out. I believe the beauty of podcasts are you can verbally dismiss your trauma by talking about it, whether it's with someone that you don't know, whether it's an environment where you feel that you can just comfortably talk about it. And when he messaged me, I had to put him in contact with Muse just to let them know. That was what sold me and said, I have to be involved with you, with these guys.
Yeah, I saw some of his story from like with the reposting online. Yeah, it sounds like powerful. I'm really glad that he was able to be able to release that.
Yeah,
release that sort of energy and those emotions, and it's very healing. You know, and it's obviously it's very unfortunate, and my heart goes out to them. But I'm really glad that he's able to process that and move through it and not be stuck there.
Yeah, I was really blown away by his openness and being so forward with such a conversation and a topic that would just mostly bring 99.9% of us to our knees crying in a fucking fetal position, 100%. Not being able to move. But this man just showed such strength and then during the podcast.
Vulnerability.
And vulnerability.
Vulnerability is a strength. I think it's the greatest strength.
It's
hard to be vulnerable in this world, you know?
It is. And to talk to a man about that in a public setting like this was also a little difficult for me as well. However, I felt that we were, I do want to say there was a connection between us both in what I was asking him in a respectful way and the way that he was answering it and telling his story. So it was a pretty amazing experience. I really enjoyed it. And I'm glad that, now he's going down that psychedelic route.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You hear a lot of stories like that?
Oh yeah.
Is that what fuels you?
I mean, definitely that's what my passion is, man. It's just helping people have those sorts of experiences and be able to be happier, healthier, and stronger. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think we're all entitled to live a good life.
Yeah.
And, we hold ourselves back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a human right to live a happy, vivid, condensed world, right? Like why can't we feel that way all the time? We should be able to,
We should be able to. And when you look at like more sort of traditional societies, like tribal societies, they're all fucking happy.
Thank you for bringing that up.
They're all happy. And like this wise shaman told me this one time that it's our human right to be happy and to enjoy our life. That's the purpose of life. Like, well, that's the purpose of being human, to be happy and enjoy your life. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, holy shit, the rest is bullshit. Like one of my mentors is Wim Hof. Are you familiar with Wim Hof?
With who?
Wim Hof.
No.
You know, the Iceman?
The
Dutch guy?
Yeah, yeah, yes. How the hell does he do that?
So I was one of the first instructors in that, like back in 2017.
So you do cold plunges and everything?
All that shit.
We were doing it here. The boys were doing it here yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Hiked the snowy mountains with that guy and all that. So I learned from him like way early on. And that really was huge for me in developing myself. And, you know, and everything that I do, but you know, his, you know, the whole happy, healthy, strong thing, the slogan that I've said a few times, like I got it from him. That's his thing. It's like, you know, it's your human right to be happy, healthy, and strong. The rest is bullshit.
Yeah, that's true. I'm glad that you brought up the societies that aren't, you know, I don't want to say the untouched civilizations, but people like to live in the Amazon and the people that live in, you know, those countries that aren't developed yet. And what do they do for medicine? What do they do? I saw a video once of a jaguar that had eaten a whole bunch of magic mushrooms. And this jaguar was lying on its back with its paws. Have you seen that?
It wasn't mushrooms. It's not mushrooms. So the jaguar, he or she goes and finds the root of the tree. I'm forgetting the name of the tree now, but it's one of the ingredients that goes into the ayahuasca brew.
Okay, so, pardon my ignorance.
I think is it the acacia? No, not the acacia. That's mesmosis, which also has DMT in it. But it's a root of the tree. I forget. It's that one, and then there's another one which is able to inhibit, you know, your body from like just passing it through, and he's able to help you absorb that DMT in there. So that the jaguar chewing on it is, that's how they typically find, you know, and capture jaguars.
That you just gotta look for the roots whenever all the jaguars are all fucked up.
Typically, they'll like know where the trees are, and then they'll see if the jaguar is laying on its back, and that's how
the jaguar actually seeks it out for that feeling.
A lot of animals in nature seek out altering their consciousness.
No way.
So dolphins will fuck around with like pufferfish. That's sick.
I've heard that.
Shoot out like whatever poisonous or psychoactive properties. What else? There's a few other animals.
Monkeys eat these nuts or something. Or something that they suck on that.
So there's you know, it's sort of like it's like a natural thing to want to be able to you know, alter your consciousness.
Yeah.
It's part of life. Dolphins do it. Like I said, jaguars is part of living, I think.
Would you say out of all the psychedelics you've done that the toad was the most intense?
Yeah, it's the most powerful life experience I've ever had.
Wow. It changed something in you?
Yeah, I think I came back with a deeper appreciation for this life that we get to live and be able to be more just grateful for my day-to-day life and be more intentional with what I'm doing in my life and how I'm doing it.
See, guys, you hear this kind of thing and I know that you're like me thinking, how can a chew like this do all that and change all that? I promise you, I fucking swear to God, this works. And it is amazing for your general well-being of person, of how you feel during the day. Now, you may say to yourself, I already feel okay. I don't need anything. I feel fine. Okay, well, that's great. But you can step that level up a little bit without any kind of adverse effects that are gonna change the way that you do stuff in life. It's only going to enhance it for the better. I would never, as I keep saying, man, I don't promote stuff that I don't agree with or that I don't try and that hasn't worked. And this has just been amazing, and I'm so passionate about it. Now let's just talk about one thing that people can maybe be concerned about. What's the legalities with this?
So it depends on, you know, where you're at. It's decriminalized in a lot of different states. It's decriminalized in a lot of different cities. Legalized in a couple different states, decriminalized in a lot of different cities.
Okay.
So that's sort of where it's at right now.
Okay. Now, as far as tolerance, can you do this every day? Would you do it every day, and should you do it every day?
So I always recommend, if I'm working with a client, I'm working with groups, I'm talking to, you know, in front of like an audience and telling people, you know, what I suggest, I always suggest people to do a protocol, you know, like a 1 day on, 2 days off, 4 days on, 3 days off. There's a couple different ones out there. There's the Fadiman protocol. Fadiman's a big researcher in the microdosing psychedelic field. Paul Samets is another guy. He's a big mycologist. You know, so they have their own protocols for microdosing. I recommend everyone to do 4 days on, 3 days off. And that way you don't build up too much of a tolerance. Just like with caffeine, if you drink coffee every single day, you're going to need more of it to have the effect that you wanted from before. So to prevent too much of a tolerance buildup, take some time off, you know, so have off days. But some people take it every day. You know, some people microdose every day and they think that, or they feel that that's what works best for them. So it's like, hey, go ahead and do that if that's what's going to work best for you. But at least give the protocol a try for at least a month or so. And then after you do that, you know, keep track of how you're feeling.
So journal, you believe journal, yeah, your experience.
Microdosing journal is fantastic. You're able to journal on, you know, the subtleties that you're noticing, that those little switches that you're making in your life, the little improvements you're making, track that. Because it's hard to keep track of those little things when you're living this busy, chaotic life that everyone in the Western world lives. So you can look back on it in a month's time and say, wow, I've noticed I've grown this much in these different areas of my life. That's pretty cool. And then at that point, maybe move to intuitive usage. So, you know what? Today it feels like a microdosing day. I'm a microdose today. Then you don't microdose for a week. And you say, I'm a microdose today again. Or, you know what? This week I'm going to go back and do 4 days in a row again. So you can move to intuitive usage after you do that protocol for a while. Because then you're familiar with it. You've gotten a lot of the benefits already. And now you're using it as a tool, just like you would, say, with you know, if you're pre-workout once in a while before a gym or drinking a coffee when you want a little bit more energy or alertness. So.
Is there a come down from it? And is there any negative effects from psilocybin?
There's no what you would call a come down. Like, as if, like,
see, once again, I'm talking on that fucking road of that.
It's not like that at all. So if you do like a macrodose, yeah, obviously, you know, as the medicine's coming onto you, you're coming up to like a crescendo, and you're gonna be up at the top of like the height of the experience for a while, and then you're gonna slowly come back down. But it's like you're landing. It's not like, you know,
I love that.
Yeah, you're landing sort of back into like your normal state of consciousness.
Right.
But now you just have this powerful experience that you brought back with you. Then it's important to integrate that experience, you know, the downloads, the lessons, the things that you kind of process, so you can integrate that into your normal day-to-day life. But there's no like after effect of like, you know, feeling hungover or anything like that. You might feel a little bit tired, a little bit slow the next day, but that's just because, I mean, you just had a very powerful experience. You moved a lot of energy. So it's important to, after you do a macrodose or a heroic dose, to get some rest, you know, to eat some nutrient-dense foods and to get some rest and be able to recover from that.
I found out personally for me that the effects of the elevated mood carried on into the next day.
The bleed over benefits, yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened, like in the afternoon. And literally I love it when I was just whatever I was doing, and I just thought to myself, fuck, you know what? I feel really fucking good right now. I'm real happy.
It's amazing.
But hadn't taken anything that day, but realized that the bleed over effect, is that common with mushrooms?
Yeah, it's not just from the drug. So the drug is helping you to have the experience. You're having the experience. The drug isn't like, you know, The drug isn't giving the experience. You're giving yourself the experience, but it's stimulated by the drug, right, to help you to have this, right? So you're unlocking these sort of pathways of, you know, more abundance and you're happier that you otherwise wouldn't be feeling before. And also, you know, having secretions of serotonin, which might have been nullified from just your monotonous sort of life that we all tend to fall into, you know, from time to time, doing the same shit over and over again. And expecting ourselves to be just full of joy all the time, right?
Right.
And, you know, happiness takes effort, man.
It does. You're right.
It does. You can't just like expect yourself always to just be, you know, chipper and happy.
You got
to
work at it.
It takes actually effort of being present, man. Of actually, you know, expressing gratitude. Of, you know, wake up in the morning being like, damn, I'm really happy to be alive today, and be able to go and pursue whatever the hell is that I get to do. Like, is just like Trap Day, just like you talked about. Like, you never know when life can be taken from you. You never know when something can happen and it changes everything in a split second, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, life hits you fast when that happens, right? But when everything's going great, and it's important to be, you know, present with that and to appreciate that and to bask in that and remember what that feels like, because life's going to hit you at some point, right? You're going to have some downtimes, and it's a circle of life, right? It's like a wave. You're going to have your ups, and when you're in your downs, it's important to know that I'm going to move through this. You know, just like the shirt that you're wearing from Mental Joe, they have a shirt that says "Into the Storm."
That's my favorite shirt, that Into the Storm shirt.
Shout out to Chad from Mental Joe.
Shout out to Chad from Mental Joe.
Chad, that guy's the man. Love you, Chad.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have a shirt called, it says Into the Storm. It's got a picture of a buffalo on it. And the buffalo are like the only animal when a storm hits, they churn and face the storm and they move into the storm.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what it is. So the buffalo moves into the storm so they could pass the storm faster. And then they're obviously, they're all, yeah, that's it right there. So, but the analogy of that is really beautiful because
I love that.
Because like when life hits you, like, what do you do? Like, do you bitch and moan? Do you like go and hide and like, you know, or do you like complain or whatever? Do you freeze or do you face the challenge head on, you know, with as positive as you can and like you get through it? And that's a Stoic, you know, saying. That's the basis of Stoicism, which is, how does a man endure his suffering? The mark of a man is how he endures his suffering. Because no matter what, at some point in life, you're going to have some sort of suffering. Mm. And how do you endure it?
Yeah, so I've been bombarded with suffering over the last 4 years. Like, you name it, it's happened. Death of a parent, injury, financial devastation. That led me to getting sober because I knew that with all that trauma that was going on with me, it was a one-way ticket to the fucking grave.
Yep.
I reached out to Mental Joe and he would just check up on me every now and then. I was in a fucking dark place, man. I was in a pretty dark place. I didn't know, you know, what was going on with my life and even if I wanted to continue with living. And, you know, he gave me some great advice and he actually talked to me. One of the first things he said to me is, have you tried microdosing? And I said, no, I've never tried it. I'm going to put you in touch with some people. And this is how I found these guys. And this is what's really changed a lot for me. And also a lot for my guests. And that alone for you must be a fucking awesome feeling to be able to know that what you put your time and effort and thoughts and love and hard work and passion into actually benefits people.
Yeah, 100%. It's very fulfilling. Impact people, man. You know, and like, thanks for sharing that. It's not easy to share about that. It's not easy to get through it. So congrats for you and like, keep going, dude.
Yeah. You know, after a couple of surgeries and you've had surgeries, you know, that can send you into a depression and then, massive. And then, you know, with the death of my father and then, you know, I had a huge financial loss, which pretty much lost nearly everything I had.
Sorry for all of it, but
once again, it's like what you said. It's not about the trauma you go through. It's how you handle it. And I believe that with alcohol in me, I never would have been able to handle that. With drugs in my system, I probably would have been dead by now.
It's like a numbing agent when it's used for that, right?
Right.
You know.
Where this is different. This doesn't numb nothing.
Helps you feel it.
It enhances.
Helps you feel it. Process it.
So let me ask you this question, Greg. If you were sad, say, for instance, your dog died or whatever. Would you?
That was me, man. My best friend just died, like, you know, a little bit over a year ago. I mean, I had him from when I was 18 years old. You know, lived a long life, but he had more years to go, and he tragically died. And so I went through that, man.
Yeah.
And plant medicine helped me to feel those emotions and move through that and let it out.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard, man.
Just happened to me too, brother.
Sorry, bro.
About a year ago, but it wasn't, I had left my best friend, my angel, my son, my shadow with someone while I quickly ran out and did an errand and they left the back door open and he was never seen again. He was with me 8 years. His father was with me before him and his 17-year-old brother that passed away around the same time. So it was a whole collection of things, but the death of a parent, the death of a pet is as equally traumatizing as the death of a human, maybe even a little more.
Yeah. I've heard recently from someone that lost lost a pet too early and, you know, tragedy happened. And like, you know, she had lost her 93-year-old mom like a year before. And she said it was harder to lose the dog than it was the mom. Because the mom was like, had seen, you know, lived a long, good life, right? Mm. The dog was taken too early, right? My boy, I mean, he was 13, but he had a good another 3 years left in him. It just, tragedy happened. And it just that, but not being able to say goodbye, not be able to see out, not being able to finish that sort of
That relationship. Cycle. Yeah, that cycle.
Yeah, it guts you, you know?
Oh, yeah. And even when you still think about it, it's still like,
oh yeah.
The way that I've dealt with Snuffy being lost is that I just have to, which is probably a bad thing to do, but I just have to block it because if I think about it, I'm a fucking mess. As a matter of fact, I'm quite astonished that I'm not crying right now, because I normally would be talking about
it. Were, man.
Huh?
It's all right.
How many? I cry on this podcast all the. I mean, I think I've cried on this podcast 3 times last week. But yeah, man. So these type of conversations always need to be had, and I'm just glad that I got to talk about it with someone like you, because you've obviously experienced some trauma as well, and what you're doing is not selfish. It's not for money. It's not for anything, but to help others. Where's that come from, Greg, that you just want to help others and not just be this prick that wants to make a lot of money? Because that's what most people are like these days.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with making money, but, you know, I think that it's all about your intentions. You know, your intention in life is everything, right? So if you could, you know, whatever it might be, I think it's putting yourself up for service. Mm. So, you know, if you are, you know, if you're a podcast host, you're a fucking shoemaker, like whatever it might be, you're offering a good quality service for humanity. You know, you're helping people, man.
Yeah.
And so it may not be as like directly as, you know, coming to like an event of mine or working with me as a client. But you're always helping people, and you need to see that what you're doing is for the common good of society and putting yourself up for service. You know, how could I be of greater service to my fellow man?
Yeah.
That's key. And, you know, for people that don't understand, like, maybe like what their job is, you know, how their job, you know, benefits society. But then, hey, you don't have to do that job. You could do whatever the fuck you want in this world that makes you A, happy, and then B, helps the greater, you know, good of society. Mm. And then you're gonna have a lot more fulfillment from that.
And your internal feeling of being able to, like, whether it's like spreading the word of something that's amazing or helping people out with conversations that are uncomfortable to talk about, doing what you're doing, when you're not doing it for just yourself, for the selfish reasons, for the ego reasons, right?
Yeah.
Then it becomes much better.
There's nothing wrong with having a reward for your efforts, you know? There's nothing wrong with that. I think, but we tend to kind of compartmentalize making money and then, you know, purpose or passion or whatever, and or the greater good of society. But there's no reason you can't have a reward for helping people out and for, you know, putting forth your services in the world. You should be rewarded for that.
So what's the next step for Muse, my guy? Is it to become as commonly used as cannabis? Is it to become, you know, something that people want to reach out to instead of a fucking bottle of whiskey? Where do we go with this now? What's in the future for Muse?
I mean, the guys over there, I mean, the goal for them is just like my goal with working with clients, is just trying to get this to more people, trying to get people more open to tools that are out there to help, you know, heal them. And to be in, you know, happier, healthier, and stronger, man. Just spread the word, spread the you know, healing in the world, and help people level up. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people who don't realize that they could be a lot happier. They could be you know, a lot sort of walking lighter on this earth instead of having to walk, you know, carry this weight that they don't realize that they're carrying.
So how I kind of like to, you've said some amazing things today, and it was great to be able to talk to you. I've been really looking forward to it, just because the information of what you have is just, you know, it's priceless. I needed to hear it. How I like to finish off my show is I always like to get my guests just to tell the world, to tell the people, to tell the millions listening. What's your message, Greg Spivak?
My message, if I have to whittle it down, it's like, you deserve to be happy. You deserve to, you know, pursue whatever it is that you want to pursue in this life, and you know, because you want to do that, you know, it's your right to be happy, healthy, and strong. So go fucking do that.
See, that's the message. It's your right to be happy,
and that takes with being present. Every time you do any sort of mindfulness practice, meditation, gratitude,
prayer,
breath work, prayer, anything like that, it's helping you be more present. It's like you're getting your black belt in jujitsu. You're getting your black belt in presence. The more present you are, the more engaged you are in this life. The more, the richer your life becomes. Microdosing can help with that. Just any sort of mindfulness practice. It's not woo-woo. It's, you know, all doctors are going to promote this sort of shit now. But the more present you can be, the overall richer your life's going to become. And it's literally like you're leveling up in the belts of, you know, a martial art. The more you practice it, the better you get. The less you operate out of that ego, and the more you'll catch yourself when you're operating out of that ego and bring yourself back to being present in this world.
Are we going to do this again?
I think we definitely should.
Yeah, I think we definitely should. I think we got a 24-hour. When's the 24-hour podcast coming up, Joey?
I think April 12th.
April 12th. Yeah, yeah. We do a 24-hour podcast where we different guests come in and out.
And you're just here 24 hours straight?
Me and the other guy that runs Action Junkies. So then some will go and sleep, and then but it's people come in and they talk about their products, and we do a podcast. And so I don't know if you're going to be around April 12th, but we'd love to get you in for that. Sure,
that sounds epic.
Yeah, it really is.
Might have to do that.
Yeah, we might have to do that,
or maybe even call in. You guys do that? Or no?
Absolutely, we do everything for it. You can call in via Zoom or whatever you like.
Hey, we'll do that then.
Well, I appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. This is awesome.
I look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, we'll definitely do more.
Greg?
Dude, real pleasure, bud.
Great pleasure, buddy. Guys, listen, if you want to find out a little bit more about this product, if you want to know anything about this product, you can find them on Instagram. Or if you want to DM me personally, I can send you a link and I can give you a discount, okay? These products are just absolutely sensational when it comes to everything that we spoke about today. Guys, once again, I don't push anything that I don't agree with. I don't sell something. This isn't about the money. It's actually got nothing to do with financial benefit. This is about self-benefit. This is about living your own vivid life to the fullest experience. You deserve it. You fucking deserve it, guys. You're only here for 80 years. Make the most of every day where it counts. In the present. Thanks very much for joining us on the podcast. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Follow me on YouTube and, of course, on Spotify, where we are killing it, social media, and all your other streaming platforms. This is Marcus Deegan with Muse for the Marcus Deegan Show. We're out.